pray for the message. It's always wise to pray for the message if for no other reason, for self-interest, so that you don't get bored to tears. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak through this message to those who need to hear it, and all of us who need to hear it in one form or another. And I ask you to give me clarity of thoughts, so at least I can give you the honor and glory through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You have an insert in your bulletin today, and this is a foundational truth. And if you just get it out, I want you to read with me the foundational truth at the top. Here we go. As obedience to the Lord Jesus increases, actions decrease. I discovered this on my journey in life. So let me read to you the explanation. When we first begin to follow the Lord, we are full of activity and quite short on obedience. As we grow spiritually, our actions gradually diminish until we are filled with obedience, doing what the Lord wants us to do. Many Christians, however, do what they like and refuse to do what they dislike. They never ponder whether or not they are acting out of obedience. In other words, many works for the Lord are done out of self and not in obedience to God. As far as the Lord is concerned, obedience transcends service, always. I want to talk to people today who want to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Not just Savior, but Lord. So this message is not necessarily for everybody. It is only for those who want to live in God's will for their lives. Now, having said that, I want to show you three great principles, truths, and the paradox of those truths, and then a picture of these truths lived out. I have three scriptures in your bulletin which exemplify three different principles of truth, of living a life with Jesus as your Lord. The first is in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13. Let's read it together. Here we go. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, isn't that great? That principle. The truth here is if you are a child of God, God has good things for you. He will provide you for you and protect you and take care of you. And when you pray to Him, He will hear you and you will find the Lord when you seek Him. That's great, isn't it? How many of you ever used that scripture as part of your life? Quite a few of you. I love this truth. It gives me great hope and joy. How about you? Okay, let's look at a second great truth from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. Let's read it together. And he said to all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, this great truth, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be much fun, does it? Jesus is talking about denying yourself. He's talking about obedience. He is talking about taking up a cross and carrying the burdens of others, burdens for Him, and just basically living a life of blood, sweat, and tears for Him and others. And to heck with you. And not only that, but if you don't do it that way, then you lose anyway. Doesn't sound very good to me. What do you think? But it's still a great truth. It appears to me that these two truths are exactly opposite. One says God wants good stuff for you, and the other says you have to give up everything and follow Him, and you lose. And if you don't do it, you lose anyway. Both of these can't be right, can they? It doesn't make sense to me unless God works some kind of magic to make it work. Which brings me to the third principle, the third great truth, which tells me that God works in paradox. And a paradox is two things that are true, but yet they can't be. Read with me Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Here we go. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Basically, the principle here is we haven't got a clue as to what God is doing in this world or in our lives unless we throw out the way we think things work. And we begin to submit ourselves to a new way of looking at the world. We don't think like God. We don't work like God. And we don't have a clue as to what is going on unless we disregard what we know and literally become as a little child again and learn everything under God's direction. The paradox is that God wants to provide for us, protect us, make sure we are fulfilled as His people, and we require dying to what we want, what we think, and what we are, which is totally alien thinking to the way we think. It makes our flesh crawl if God puts us to the test on any of these. Three principles and a paradox. First, God loves us, provides for us, protects us, wants us fulfilled as His people. Second, you have to die to self, give up everything you have, and follow Him. Third, it's a paradox. Two truths that are totally different and yet work because God works different from us. He makes things that are impossible possible. And I want to look today at a picture of these three principles and the paradox, and it is a picture of Abraham, who we call the father of the faith, and he is all over the New Testament. Jesus talks about him regularly. He is the one who is considered the father of the faith. But I want you to know that if Abraham fails to do what God tells him to do, and that has to do with obedience, or if God does not work His magic in dealing with the paradox of the principles which we have just raised up, then Abraham is nothing. We would never have heard of him. His story would just be a tragedy of death. So if God does not work, and if Abraham is not obedient, then we don't have the witness. Now, you can find Abraham in the 12th through the 22nd or 23rd chapter of Genesis. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, it shows the high point of Abraham's life, but I expect it was the darkest time in his life. It was only a high point as far as Abraham is concerned as he looks back on it. Abraham is asked to do the very same thing that God does for us. God tells him to sacrifice his son, who he loves most, who is the fulfillment of all his hopes and dreams, his future. He calls him to sacrifice him. So let's read some of this together. And I would like us to start with just the first two verses of chapter 22. Here we go. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, I just love it. Abraham, here I am. Let me paint this picture for you so that it fits into our own life situations a little bit. Let me restate this scripture a little bit that may relate to some of you or me. Let's say, after 40 years in ministry, God tested Jack. and said to Jack, this is what I want you to do. And Jack said, here I am. Take the most important thing in your life, that one thing which you love the most, and get up to a high place in my presence and kill it because I want it. For somebody here, one of you, it might be after 14 years of marriage, take your marriage to a place of worship and dedicate it to me, even if it means losing your future. For somebody here, it might be after 10 years in your business, your job, bring it to me. I want it, even if you have to kill it. For somebody, it might be after 18 years of raising your child, I want your relationship with that child. It could have to do with a lover. It might have to do with a friend, your finances, your business, your job, your family, maybe yourself. It definitely has to do with your life. And it is after so many things have already happened. You may have walked with Jesus for a long time. And after all that time, God gives you a test. The truth is that God brings us to moments of truth when we find out what we are really made of, and it is done through obedience. You may think that you have been following him for years and everything is running fairly smoothly, and then suddenly here it comes, the test of your life. And it brings us to a point where we have to decide, when God says to do something, will you do it? The question behind the test is, do you trust me? And the Lord asked that question. So put your name in here if it's your time of testing and you sense God's voice and hand pushing you in your life. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I tell you. Read with me. Well, I'll read it to you. The first seven words of verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. You know why he got up early? He couldn't sleep. In fact, I like to try to visualize what's going on. I see him lying next to Sarah, his wife. And he sort of just kind of pulls up into a fetal position and tears begin to flow, but he has to control himself because he can't talk to her about this. So he lays there as long as he can, and then he gets up. Let's read all of verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, the place he was going to was probably about 75 miles away or 2 days traveling as he's moving with these three boys, and he has nobody to talk to. God isn't talking to him. He is all alone inside himself. The test is in progress. Have you ever had God give you a test where it seemed to be a no-win situation as far as you were concerned? Abraham's test is to be the very picture of God's plan of redemption. You got to think about this. He was acting out what God was going to do with his son, Jesus, 2,000 years later on the very same mountain that Abraham was told to go to. But Abraham doesn't know that. All he knows is that God has told him to kill his son as a sacrifice. He and God had walked together a long time, about 25 years if you read the story, but this is crazy. Abraham is walking in what can best be described as obedient despair. For 2 days, he walks in obedience with his eyes and his soul and his spirit cast down in despair. Read with me verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Can you see him lifting his eyes in despair to the place which is supposed to be a place of worship, but to him, it is only going to be a place of death? Read with me verses 5 and 6. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took his hand at the fire and the knife, and so they went both of them together. They went both of them together. A couple of things in these two. The fire, that which burns you up, and a knife, which is the instrument of killing. The two things you will need to kill the most important thing in your life. The fire and the knife, both of which represent the Word of God in the Bible. The truth of God's Word is like fire. You see it in the revelation of the burning bush. It's fire that burns on us to purify us. It's the truth. That's what the Word of God is. And it is like fire because it will purify us or it'll burn us up. And the Word of God is also like a sword in Ephesians chapter 6 or a knife which can cut away things that are unimportant, but it can also kill if God calls for it. The truth that burns, the knife that kills. And the scripture says, and so they both went both of them together. Isaac and Abraham, they're mentioned the first time together. Read with me verses 7 and 8. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. So they went both of them together. You know, Abraham has been walking with the Lord a long time, about 25 years. But he has a deep wound inside of himself now. He has got to be confused by this test. God has told him that he will be blessed and taken care of and protected and provided for. And now he is asked to carry this cross and deny himself even unto the death of his son, his future hope. You see, Isaac is the one in whom a new nation was supposed to come forth from. He is becoming aware of the paradox, which is ripping him apart. After all these things, a test? Imagine, if you can, Isaac. He's 12 years old, and he asks his father, "Hey, Dad, we have the wood and the fire and the knife, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham stands there in agony and confusion over the demands of God and his own hopes, and steels himself, and he says, "God will provide." And there is a whisper in his heart. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord, I guess. And there's another whisper in his heart. "Do you trust me, Abraham?" He knows this means the death of his home life. To heck with the future thing about our nations that are going to come from. This is the wreck of his home life. Sarah will divorce him, if not kill him. Every single one of us is plagued by two fears. The fear of losing what we have and the fear of never seeing what we dream ourselves becoming to be fulfilled. The fear of losing what we have and the fear of our lives never becoming what we dreamed. Abraham was at that point in his life, and it was God who put him to the test. This is a test of obedience, and it's obedience unto death. The end of verse 8 says, so they went both of them together. Read with me verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham built an altar. You know that Abraham's, everywhere he went, he would build an altar to God, a place of worship. He would dedicate the place as holy. Abraham designated the place as holy ground. He built an altar. The place was a place of worship, and so they were on holy ground. And holy ground is a time and a place. Is there holy ground that you are on right now in your life? This present time and a place in your life where God is putting you to the test. And you carry the instruments of the test in your hand. The fire and the knife. It says that Abraham bound Isaac. A binding is something that holds something or someone. Is there binding you have put on the sacrifice that God has given you in your test? You know, a binding is a constriction or a tether, something that hobbles or encumbers or inhibits. It's like a fetter or a shackle. A binding is something that constrains and enforces. But a binding can also hold people together, like the bindings on a book. Some people put time limits on things. The time limit is a binding, and people are bound by that time. If such and such doesn't happen by the first of the year, or whatever, then such and such can or can't happen. It's a binding. Abraham bound Isaac. I wonder how tight the bindings were on Isaac. Could he have gotten loose if he wanted to? I think probably. Remember, this was a test. But Abraham had not read the script. And neither have you if you are in one of these tests. Just a note on Isaac here. I don't think Isaac really understood what was going on until he was bound. I think it became apparent to him really quick that he was committed to this moment as much as Abraham was, and they were both going to die together. Abraham, in terms of his future hopes and promise, Isaac was going to lose his future as well. Isaac was to bring forth a nation. Abraham's life was dying right there on the spot. All he worked for, his marriage, he wouldn't be the father of many peoples. Read with me verse 10. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. What do you think? I mean, I ponder this kind of stuff. Did Abraham do it fast or slow? Abraham had to have thoughts like, this isn't the way God works. This is crazy. Is this some cruel joke? What's going on here? Anybody here and you're in a test that maybe God is giving you and you ask those kinds of questions? At the same time, Abraham must have had thoughts like this. The Lord has never done me dirty. The Lord's nature is not to destroy, but to bring life. He keeps his promises. The Lord has walked with me and I know him. We are friends, or at least I thought we were. And Abraham lifts the knife, and Isaac looks at him. And he has the fire right there to make sure that he really burns it up, and he is finished doing what God wants him to do. The fire is there to destroy the evidence of God's promise. Abraham was faced with the fear of losing what he had and the fear of never becoming what he had dreamed. And it is all focused in the bound person lying on the altar of his life, and he hasn't read the script for his life. Abraham hadn't read the script. We know it. He didn't. And it's just like we haven't read the script for our lives either when it comes to the things that we go through. Anyone who wants to serve the Lord Jesus will come to the times when the Lord will test you. When the fear of losing what you have and the fear of never becoming what you dreamed will rise up in front of you like Mount Moriah, and we will be asked to sacrifice out of obedience that which is very dear to us in big things and in little things. And it is where we find out what is really eternally significant in our lives. It is a test of obedience. Read with me verses 11 to 14. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." I'm so glad we have this story. It's kind of like going to a library and checking out other tests given in a course of study so that when you you can study for your test. You know, I used to do that in college. They had a special place in the library at our college for old tests. And you could go in there and you could check out old tests to get an idea of what to expect and the kinds of questions that might be asked in your course. They aren't the same as the test I took, but they helped. This story is like a previously given test. I learned from this test, for my test, that God is unchanging. No matter what he may seem like in terms of what is happening in my life. Second, the provision of God is on time. At least it has been in past tests. The Lord provided that ram in the thicket. Third, the promise of God is secure, or at least it has been in past tests. For Abraham, the promise and future is in Isaac. This test shows me that God will bring us to places where the things that we feel are the key to our future, things that we feel are at the very heart of the complex issues of our lives, and as far as we're concerned, indispensable to our future, he will say, "I want you to give them to me." And we will react, "But God, I can't do that. You promised." And God will ask, "Do you trust me?" as he hands you the fire and the knife. Then you have to make a decision. Now you need to hear me. God would have us come to the places, the place that even his fulfilled promises to us are not so precious to us that they become substitutes for his own presence and person in our lives. God will bring us to the place where we have to decide whether our relationship with him is more important than even his fulfilled promises in our lives. You see, what is really eternally significant is our relationship with him. In saying that, though, we need to understand from this past test, which we have dug out of the library of tests in his word, that Isaac, the promise is secure, even though it looks like he is going to die. The nature of God is unchanging. He won't fail us. The provision of God is on time. He won't forget you. At least it appears from this previous test paper. The promise of God is secure as well. He won't fool you. He won't trick you. But of course, we each have to take our own tests, don't we? And we haven't read the script for our own tests and our own lives. And like Abraham, some of us say, after all we've been through, Lord, now you give me this test of my life? What do you treasure right now? Your money, your spouse, your kids, your position, your freedom, your job, your business. Maybe it's stuff like your car or your boat or your house. I remember when my son John was 7 years old, all his superheroes were his treasure. When my other three kids, Jocelyn, Jason, and Jessica, turned 16, do you know what was their treasure? Wheels and a driver's license. What is it for you right now? What was it 10 years ago? How important is it to you to be obedient to the Lord Jesus? As I said at the beginning, this is a message for disciples. Part of the reason that God gives us tests, like Abraham, is not only to bring us to points of understanding in terms of what is really eternally significant in terms of our lives, but he is teaching us his ways and how things really work. For Abraham, the test was not only one of obedience, but it was also to show Abraham what Father God was going to have to do with his own son. God was showing Abraham the big picture in the little things of his life, which was a huge thing. And through the discipline of obedient despair, Father God was not only telling Abraham what he was going to do, but he was teaching him what the big picture was really all about by making Abraham literally go through it. Of course, at the time, Abraham was not just concerned about his son, but he was concerned about his marriage, his own heart failure, and not really what God was going to do in the history of the world. The deeper your commitment to follow Jesus, the farther you go in that commitment, the more revelation you are given, the more you understand God's ways. But a lot of times it's only when you get the test back. And all along the way, the question from God is this: do you trust me? God's commitment to us is the same as it was to Abraham. God's desire for each of us is that we will be people from which life flows. The ultimate goal of God for each of us is that we grasp the nature, purpose, and the ways of the Lord, and that we are willing to abandon ourselves completely and trust him. I know this. It may be my purpose today to be God's voice and to place the fire and knife in your hand so that you can apply it to the test of your life. This may be the day that the Lord has chosen to test your relationship with him. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that if this message is for anyone in particular and all of us in general, that we understand the truth that you do that it's not us giving our own selves our tests, but you give them to us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.